Good evening. This evening, I would like to talk to you about surrendering to the Lord. So what does it mean to surrender? Surrender means to fully give in to or submit to authority. In my case tonight, I will be using the phrase let go of. But whenever I say let go of, I'll be meaning surrender. Render, which is the root word of surrender, sorry about that, means to provide or to give. So now that we know what the word surrender and render means, please turn with me to Mark 10, 17 through 27. Mark 10, verses 17 through 27. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." So, what do we as Christians need to let go of or surrender so that we can follow God? You see, maybe we need to let go of our friends. Some of our friends that might be encouraging us to do ungodly things. If you will, turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So maybe we need to let go of some of our family members. Do we have family that is holding us back from doing the will of God? If we do, then we really need to tell them to stop and to back off. I have a friend that I met at Youth Men's Leadership Camp a couple of weeks ago. And his family, they didn't want him to go. They didn't want him to be baptized or do the will of God. But he told them that he was going and he didn't care what they thought. And I talked to him a couple of days ago and he told me that they had started to come to church with him. And that his mom had been baptized since. So maybe we need to think about the worldly lusts and temptations that we have. Do we want something that we just cannot have? Now, if you will turn with me to Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30. Matthew 5, 29 and 30. "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." So what do you personally need to let go of so that you can grow and follow God? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your hobbies. A phone, maybe. But you see, I have the pleasure of working at Chick-fil-A where they don't make me work on a Sunday. And I don't have a phone either because I've dropped my fifth one of the week and now Mom won't let me get another one. So, what am I getting at here? You see, we need to let go of anything that we put above God. You see, that's any idol that we refuse to surrender when God should call. A wise man once told me that sometimes Jesus deals with the heart of the problem to deal with the problem of the heart. So let's take a moment to think about this. What does this mean? I'm not going to answer this for you this evening. I want you to think about it. Sometimes Jesus deals with the heart of the problem to deal with the problem of the heart. Now, if you will turn with me to Genesis 22, verses 1 through 24. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 24. And we'll be moving through this verse by verse. Starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. You see, God tests Abraham, but Abraham answers God in a pretty awesome way. Here I am. Now, if you will, just mark your place right there for just a moment, because we'll be coming right back to that. And turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear. So this shows that you can be tempted all day long, but you should still be able to flee from whatever that temptation may be. In verse 2, it says, Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I think it's pretty cool that God gets personal and says, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Because he could have just said, Take now your son, Isaac. But he says, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac. So he addresses him in three ways there. He says, Take now your son, your only son, and then he calls him by the name Isaac. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and Isaac and his son. And Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. See, Abraham appears to be listening right here. And in verse 4, it says, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. It's beginning to become sort of a reality for Abraham. But he never stops, and he never questions God's plan. In verse 5, And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So they start heading to the place where God has told them to go to kill his son. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and went. And the two of them went together. Now verse 7. Isaac starts to question his father and God's plan. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In verse 8, Abraham responds, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. In verse 9, we see that they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham was ready to do what God had commanded them to do. So verse 9, Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. In verse 10, it's where he is going to do what God had told him to do. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." Thankfully, Abraham is stopped by an angel that God had sent after the test was complete to see if he would listen to God. And then in verse 12 through 15, let's go ahead and read 12 through 15. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram that was caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. In verse 16, I'm going to skip 15 there. Verse 16, it says, "And said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants in the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations and the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So you can see through the rest of 24 that God recognizes Abraham for not withholding Isaac from him. So Abraham was able to surrender. Why are we not able to surrender our stuff or our valued possessions whenever God asks us to? Why are we not like Abraham? So the first thing that should be on our list is God should be first, and God would never ask us to surrender him. So nothing should be put before God. You see, it's time to surrender what we want or want to do and do the will of God instead. We need to remember that God is greater. He grants eternal life. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you were at Pine Lane Church Christ singing last week, you'll already know this quote. But do you know the number one time that Christians lie? You see, when we sing, we lie a lot. We make a lot of promises and we say a lot of things that we might not even mean. So we need to pay attention to the words of the songs whenever we are singing. So we sing a song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Do you honestly surrender all to God? If not, then why not? You see, we all want God, and we want the benefits of being a Christian, but we don't want to have to deal with the costs that are there. You see, if you honestly want to follow God, then we all must accept the costs that come with that responsibility of being a Christian. If we have Isaacs in our life that are valuable, and we refuse to surrender them to God, then we need to get rid of those Isaacs. So what are we hanging on to? Whatever it is, what is it really worth? Is it worth going to hell? I'm going to tell you a quick story that I'm kind of familiar with. I've heard it a couple times, so I should be able to kind of tell you what's going on. There was a lady in a plane crash, and the plane went down in the forest, and then she was wounded pretty bad, and there was maggots and worms and bugs that started eating on those wounds. Well, she found a group of rescuers that were there, and she poured the gasoline that was on the boat all over her wounds, and the insects drowned, and there was instant relief. You see, hell is disgusting, and the worms and the maggots and the insects will not die. If you will, turn with me one more time to Matthew 5:29-30. We've already read this once, but I want to read it one more time. "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, Cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than one of your members to perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So are you willing to give it up and surrender to the Lord? Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. So what does one have to do in order to be completely forgiven of their sins? You see, they must hear the gospel of Christ. They must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They must repent of all their past sins. And they must confess that Christ is God's Son. Lastly, they must be baptized for the remission of their sins. You see, when he or she does this, they are added by the Lord to his church. They are born again, as you can see in John 3:3-5 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. They are in Christ where all spiritual blessings are to be found, as you can find in Ephesians 1:30 and Galatians 3:26-27. But now they are a Christian. So are you saved from your sins? Have you taken these steps to salvation? If not, why not do so today? If you need the prayers for the help of the congregation and would like to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and let us listen.